The subject that I would like to address this morning is remember your source. Remember your source. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning with the 10th verse. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, listen up, because we're moving on. The train is leaving the station. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. May God have a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Please pray with me. O Lord, our God Almighty, in this season of rejoicing and shouting and acknowledging that the Messiah has come and that your Son is the greatest gift that we could ever hope to receive. Instill in our hearts the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that everything that we are and everything we possess comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. At this wonderful time of the year, giving and receiving gifts, I must admit today's message is not profound or unique. I cannot offer you deep theological constructs, even though Chris wishes that I did. Neither are my words or phrases likely to elicit an emotional resonance inside of you. No, what I bring you this morning is a very simple pattern of economics. The desired outcome is achieved by acquiring the needed items from the source of supply. This economic story in Scripture actually begins earlier than where we read that first verse in chapter 21. King David asked the people of God to pay for their temple of worship. We're told that David gave his own money, and the people brought their money to cover the entire cost of this building project. And you say, well, let me stop you right there, Pastor Philip, because we already paid for our buildings a long time ago. But but stay with me. These Israelites had just taken up an incredible offering for a new building project. This congregation was determined to build the first sanctuary ever to worship Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. I find this interesting, for David did not use his authority as king to force his subjects to participate in this building project. David did not try to coerce his audience with flowery words or manipulate their feelings with fake drama. David seemed to rely on the economic facts. If you want this, you got to pay for this. Pass this on to all of our young people.
Yeah.
If you want something, you got to pay for it. The people literally went crazy in their giving with their financial commodities of the day. The heads of household, parents, children, business folk, laborers, community leaders, politicians, the rich and the poor, those in between, gave their gold and their silver and their jewelry and everything else they had of value. And there was enough to cover the cost of the building of the new temple. Now, the story continues where we read earlier. David leads the congregation in praising God for who he is and for what he's done. Then David does something strange. At least I think it's strange. He thanks God for supplying the necessary funds to build the temple. Wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you just say that the people and David brought all of their valuables to pay for the construction? Yes, that's what I said. Well, there must be some kind of mistake, for this is a contradiction. David should have thanked himself and the congregation for their offerings. But go back and let's read it again. Wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are the strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now our God will give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. You see, David has this weird idea that the source of the building money is from God, not from him and the congregation. Is there anybody here this morning who understands that God is the source of all we have? If you do, you need to say amen. Sure, we may have went to work, but how many of you know you've got to have something inside of you? The talent, the skill, and the ability to get up and go to work comes from God. Does everybody here this morning understand that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? Do you realize that God has the ability to give us far more than we possess? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He opens the windows of heaven, and blessings come pouring out. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. None of us, no matter how many times God has spared our lives, do you remember that? When death has come knocking? How many times disaster was about to strike and we avoided it? How many times we could have failed, but somehow we succeeded? The hard truth is to recognize that God doesn't really need anything from us. The Lord could have built a more magnificent temple than the Israelite nation. God does not ask us to give because he's hurting and we have something that he doesn't have. God asks us to give because God wants us to be like him. God has a giving attitude, and he wants that giving attitude modeled in his children. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Throughout the Bible, you'll find that God is always giving. The verse that every Christian has memorized, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. in your own lives, how many times has Christ provided for you in ways that you thought were not possible? Hello, somebody. God is very interested in our response to the blessings that he sends our way and what we choose to do with them. When we talk about giving to the church, we have to realize that every day God gives us the choice to live out of his generosity to us. God continues to bless you and I. The Lord has given us a variety and different quantities of stuff. And so often over my years as a pastor, I hear one common excuse that some folks use for not giving too much to the church. I don't have the same income as the person next to me. Therefore, I give very little. But in Malachi 3:10, we're urged to tithe, to give 10% of our income. There's no comparison with anybody else's income. Only me, myself, and I. My 10% matches with her 10%. And her 10% matches with his 10%. No matter what our income is. David is proclaiming and reminding the congregation that all the money that they brought to pay for building the temple, it came from God. I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive. They really gave it to God, right? But let me ask you, who was the original source? Name something that you earned. An academic degree? Wisdom from years of experience? Didn't the Lord have a hand in it? What about your good character traits or important values that inform the good decisions that you made? What about the clothes in your closet? And the credit card that you put them on? What about the car that you pay the note every month? What about your spa membership, your hairstyle, your pedicure, your vacation last summer, your streaming services, your cable, your cell phone, your tablet, your groceries from Costco or Ralph's? Right, it was all you, huh? You could not have earned those things without the life and the strength that God provides. Remember your source. Think about it. The total sum of all we have is from God. Yes. Whether we work for it, won it, found it, or received it as a gift, God is still the ultimate source. I don't know about you, but I can trace everything in my life back to him. Remember your source. That's the reason David thanked God for the money to build the temple. Because he understood that the Lord is the source. The psalmist reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and everything within. James' epistle puts it this way. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Remember your source. In a few minutes after this worship service, you all will be asked to pass the church budget for starting January 2022. And of course, it is not just enough to pass the budget. Without your giving to the Lord and his mission in this place, the past budget becomes a hollow gesture. You and I must faithfully bring our tithes and offerings to the altar over the next 12 months. My niece, and I've only got one niece, my niece had a birthday last month. And it's so hard for me to believe that she's 40 years old. Jennifer, you're listening. I can't believe it. You're still my little baby girl. All grown up, managing a Hobby Lobby store in Columbus, Ohio. She owns her own house in Delaware, by the way. Jenny puts up a hard front. But she's a pushover when it comes to helping out the family. Jenny is so generous with her money that I remember several years ago, I was in Ohio for a church conference. And Jenny heard the dates that I would be in town. So she took 3 days off from work, pick me up at the airport and let me use her car so that I wouldn't have to wreck it. When one of our older relatives was struggling to pay her monthly expenses with just her Social Security income, Jenny took it upon herself to help. She called up the local electric and gas companies and had the bills put in her name. And she paid them every month for the next 3 years. This summer, when I was home visiting, Jenny and I and my mom and her cousin, we all went out to dinner. And I planned to pay for everybody's dinner because, you know, I'm the old rich uncle. Not really. You know what you pay. And you know, it makes me feel good to, you know, to be able to take care of this little family meal, you know. Well, I went to the restroom, and when I came back, I asked the waitress for the check. And I was informed that Jenny had already paid for it. But I want you to know that Jenny has not always been so charitable. One afternoon when I was in town, I picked up my beautiful 4-year-old niece from the daycare center. And since I rarely get to see her, because I lived on the West Coast, I always planned something special. I admit it, I spoiled her. And I took her to McDonald's because we all know that every child needs a fast food snack 1.5 hours before dinner. I got her an order of French fries, and I got for myself a milkshake. We prayed that God would bless the food, and she quickly began to consume the French fries. And I reached over to get a couple of the fries for myself, and Jenny pushed my hand away and said, "The fries are mine." I thought about it for a moment, that I was the one who bought the fries in the first place. And my niece failed to realize that I was the source of her French fries. I could have taken the fries by force. I could have bought my own fries. I didn't need hers. Besides, giving up a couple of fries would not have killed her. And yet, here she is talking that they're her fries. But Jenny was only 4 years old. What's your excuse? Don't you know that every good thing in our lives is divinely provided? It is incumbent on us to practice proper stewardship. Just like David, we should give back to God out of thanksgiving for what he has first given to us. This Christmas, sisters and brothers, remember God.